Amen. Thank you, Fred. Hearing God. Do you want to hear God?
Yeah.
Amen. When I heard a few weeks ago that Judy and the women's team was planning some events around Luke 24 and walking back from the road to Emmaus, saying, weren't our hearts burning within us? I know I heard him. I knew I recognized that voice before. What an incredible, suspenseful passage that is. And when I heard that the ladies are going to be looking at that, I just jumped for joy. I didn't tell you that, Judy, but they didn't know yet that this was the series that we were going to be starting. And I thought, well, isn't that wonderful that God is confirming in numerous places that this is a journey he wants us on as a church? And to hear people sharing how you're hearing God's voice. And during this season, from now until Christmas, we are looking for opportunities for you to share examples of when you heard God speak to you. So if you have a story to tell where God led you and you followed and something happened, let one of us know and we'll have you share on a Sunday morning, because it'd be really helpful for people to hear how God speaks to us so that we can all learn to hear God's voice. Scripture promises us, as we said 2 weeks ago, those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Jesus, in Revelations, he said, here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. That's his promise. He is knocking. If you hear, if you respond, he will come to you. That's his promise. Isaiah calls out, chapter 55, why spend money on what is not bread? Why labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul might live. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And I shared with you that 23 and a half years ago, I read that verse from John chapter 10. And suddenly I began a journey of hungering after God. My sheep know me. They hear my voice. I didn't hear God's voice. But Scripture told me it was possible to hear God's voice. Not only possible, but expected. It was simply a reality. If you are His children, you do hear His voice. I got really scared and decided I must not be His children because I didn't hear His voice, which was actually true. I wasn't following God. I just had a certain set of doctrines that I believed in, that I agreed with, that I adhered to. But following Him, Lord and Master, in charge of my life, no way, thank you, I'll do what I want. And my life began to change because He touched me and He gave me a hunger to know His voice. And that was 23 and a half years ago. I began this incredible adventure of following God's voice. How do you know His voice? How do you follow it? What does it sound like? How can I keep from being deceived by other voices? How do I know that I'm hearing God and not just my own imagination? How do I know it's not just Satan tricking me? How do I know I'm not just following what my culture tells me, what my society tells me? Is there a way to test God's voice? No. God's voice is very subjective, isn't it? It's up to you. If you think you've heard, you've heard. Who am I to judge? How do you answer this question? How do I know? I thought God's voice is subjective. If it's subjective, then how do I know if I'm right or if I'm just confused? There must be some way. Ask your children that. Are you sure that was Mom on the telephone? Yeah, I know it was Mom. Well, how do you know it was Mom on the telephone? Isn't that kind of subjective? Don't you think it could have just been some other lady on the telephone? We can know our Father's voice. He calls us children. He gives us ways to know His voice. Today I want to look at an outstanding example of someone who heard God's voice. Peter. Peter heard God's voice. And why are we doing this? Because we want to hear God's voice. We believe that God has called us as a church to be a people that are led by His Spirit. Not just us. Every Christian around the world is called to be led by His Spirit. If you're His son, you're led by His Spirit. You don't have to be lost in a maze. You don't have to be on your own. He actually knows right where you are. He has a perspective that He sees you far above. Oh, my voice just went deep. And Matthew's looking at his controls saying, I didn't touch anything. What happened here? What did I do wrong, Matthew?
I think it's
the connection into the box. From a wireless mic into a box. I don't understand that stuff, but I'm glad you do.
The one on your waist.
The one on my waist. Oh, okay. Plug this in a little better. That any better? Test? Hello? All right. So far, so good. If it dies again, we'll grab a different microphone. So He knows where we are. He sees us. He has a different perspective. How can I know? We're going to read about Cornelius and Peter. And we're going to have some readers come and help me. So could Julie and Mike and Dan. The Bible's a wonderful book of incredible stories, but this one goes for 1.5 chapters. And if I give you a chapter and a half plus a sermon, you're going to tune out. So we're going to have the story by Julie and who's first here? Julie's first. Julie and Mike and Dan are going to tell us this incredible story of Peter and Cornelius hearing God's voice. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Open your Bible, find it, underline it, go back to it later. The book of Acts is in the New Testament, right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you get to Romans, you went too far. If you get to Revelations, you're way off. If you get to Hezekiah, you don't have a Bible in your hand. All right, we're ready.
Cornelius calls for Peter. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier, who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa.
Okay, hold that thought just a minute. Let's get a little bit of background here. This is a time when Jesus has already risen from the dead. The church is preaching about the resurrection. People are becoming Christians. Some people are angry because they claim that Jesus is alive. Stephen has been stoned to death. The church has been scattered because of persecution. By the time we get to this story, Saul, who was one of the persecutors, has met Jesus himself. And he's become a Christian. His name is now changed to Paul. Peter has been experiencing God's power, but he has no idea that he's about to hear God's voice for something really, really big. Here is God speaking to some Italian guy. Did you catch that? How many Italians are here? A couple of Italians around? All right. This guy is in the military. How many people have had military service in their life? One? Two? Over here? Okay. An Italian military guy. And God is about to connect Peter to him. But Peter has no idea that he's about to do something that will change the course of the church worldwide for eternity. He has no idea how big this has been. Just little things have been happening. You know, like he walked into Lydia and there was this guy who had been bedridden for 8 years in the chapter before. And he says, "Hey, Jesus heals you." The guy got up and walked, and two whole towns believed in Jesus. He was just involved in small stuff up until now. People heard about that, and the next town over, this lady named Dorcas died, and they went and got Peter to help him out. They'd already washed her body and laid her out, and the undertakers were putting her up in the upper room to bury her somewhere. Peter goes up and kicks everybody out of the room and tells her to get up, and she comes back to life. And that whole city believed. It was amazing. So up until now, he's just been doing small stuff, but he's experienced God's power. But now God is about to speak to him and he needs to hear his voice. You see, there's something huge going on here. Jesus is on a mission to seek and save the lost. Jesus is on a mission to redeem the whole world. But so far, those who have believed are mostly Jewish people who assume that following Jesus means you become a Jew and you follow Jesus. The idea of those unclean heathen having a relationship with God on their own is a little bit out of this world. And so we're at a time in history that you and I can't really relate to. Imagine Julie's just read to us about a good man, you know, a generous Italian. It runs in the blood. They're always generous, aren't they? A good man who did lots of good things and helped the poor, and besides that, was already beginning to follow the Jewish customs and had his family praying at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the same time the Jews did, seeking God. He's a seeker of God. He's a devout person. He wants to follow God. And we can't relate to this, but just believe me, in their day and age, Peter wouldn't dare to go and have a dinner at his house. That guy was unclean. Even as godly as he seemed, he was unclean. For Peter to go and hang out with him would be highly frowned upon by all the rest of the Christians. Scandalous things that anyone would do such a thing. Peter has no idea what God's plan is for the non-Jews. He understands God's plan for the Jews, and he understands that people can become a Jew and join them in serving God. But he has no idea, nor does the rest of the church. Now look at what happens. So Cornelius thinks he heard God. We just read it, or Julie just read it for us. He thinks he had an angel come to him and tell him that in the next town over, about a day's journey away, well, not the next town, but about a day's journey away in Joppa, there's a guy who's a tanner. He works with animal skins and makes leather. The tanner who lives by the sea, and his name is Simon. He thinks he heard God about that. He also thinks that God has told him that at that man's house is some guy named Peter. And the Holy Spirit said, go and get him and have him come to you. Didn't tell him why. Didn't tell him what's going to happen. Just one day he's praying and he believes God's told him this. This guy's crazy. He puts his reputation on the line and goes and gets three of his best servants and says, here's what God told me. Now go down to this city and find this guy for me. Well, we're going to find out really quick if he heard God or if he's just loony. Right? But if your commander tells you, hey, soldier, go and get this guy. Okay, I better at least go find out. But he is the one that heard God. Not the guys around him, not his family. But he's so convinced he's heard God, he wants his friends to go do what the angel said. Send some men, bring this guy back. Why? I don't know why. Just go do it. What an adventure. He doesn't know the end. He's just on this adventure. Okay, read us the next passage, Mike.
Verse 9, Peter's vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you are looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests.
Thank you. Peter thinks he's heard God. He's been praying. Was he just having delusions? Was he imagining things? He's got a pretty far-fetched vision going on here. Some sheet coming out of heaven with a whole bunch of unclean animals in it. If you were in his shoes, you might be tempted to think, maybe this is just the devil trying to give me wicked bad dreams. I mean, I know animals don't bug us that way, but for him, they were unclean. This is like the untouchable. I'm a Jew. I don't do this stuff. And he's having visions about himself getting involved in unclean practices. Oh, my goodness. Maybe the devil's after me. That would be logical. But for Peter, it must have been the presence of God was there. For some reason, he knows he's talking to God. And he believes he's had a vision. The other thing that we see in this passage is that the Spirit said to him, "There's three guys downstairs." He believes God told him there's three guys downstairs looking for him and that he's supposed to go with them. So he believes the Spirit tells him, whoever these guys are, to go with them. Now we continue the story. How do we hear God? Look for the keys that Peter has in the rest of the story. We're going to read it right through to the end, back and forth between Dan and Julie. And look for the evidence that Peter finds to substantiate that God is speaking to him. There are keys for us, and there's eight of them. Okay, Julie.
The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us."
Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know that the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, you know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them."
Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and in it came down to where I was, and I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Go, get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me. And we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as it had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life."
All right. Thank you, Dan, Mike, and Julie. Give them a hand. What an amazing story. We could look at all different kinds of things about Jews and Gentiles and God's plan for the world, but we're going to narrow it right down to just hearing God's voice. All the other studies about this passage would be great and wonderful, but we want to get really, really practical. How can you and I hear God's voice? What do we learn from Peter about hearing God's voice? Most of the lessons we have are in chapter 11, the last passage that was read there by Dan. Why? Because chapter 11 is where Peter has to defend himself with a whole bunch of people who thought he probably hadn't heard God. They thought he'd royally messed up. And so he then unpacks for them the process that he went through to hear God's voice. And if we look at chapter 11 and the lessons from that, we'll pick up different questions that we can ask about when we think we've heard God and think, is this really God? Now, you won't always have exactly the same process that Peter had, but you'll see as we go through this that there are things that you can ask about hearing God's voice. And I put down 8 questions or 8 litmus tests, 8 ways of substantiating that you've actually heard God. 8 little questions that you can use to say, is this God speaking to me? Just to start with, go back. There's only 5 times in here that it sounds like somebody thinks they heard God. First, it was Cornelius, who had 2 things. He thought God had told him that there was a guy named Simon living by the sea. He thought God had told him that at that house was a guy named Peter, and that he was supposed to come to him. And then, of course, there was Peter, who had 3 things. He had a vision, and he thought God said there's 3 guys downstairs, and he thought God said to go with him. How do we know that we've heard God, and what can we learn from Peter? First of all, let me just say that Jesus wants us to hear his voice. Often we're interested in, I want to hear his voice. I want direction for my life. How can I know what God is saying? We have a vested interest because we desire. But we need to see it from the other side. Jesus is on a mission to seek and save the lost. Jesus has chosen to do that through people who he calls his ambassadors. We are God's mouthpiece. The angel could have preached the gospel to Cornelius, but instead, God had chosen Peter to preach the gospel. So think of it from the other side. Of course, we want to hear God, but one thing that gives us faith is God wants his children to hear his voice. Like a parent, you see Jennifer here holding little baby Mahalia, right? Now, baby Mahalia is asleep right now. How old is she? 4 months old. Now, how many of you know that Jennifer and Lee really like talking to baby? They do, right? You've seen it happen, right? Knowing Lee, he was probably talking to baby before the baby was born. And how many of you know little Mahalia doesn't answer them a lot right now? Mwah, mwah. Maybe a gurgle and a smile now and then. But they've got so much they want to invest in this girl. So much they want to teach her. And she's just not getting it yet. But believe me, by the time she's 18 years old, she will have picked up how to communicate with them. She'll know their voice. And they will continue to want to impart more and more to their children. That's how God is. When we come to follow Jesus, we're like a baby. We don't get it. The first word we learn is no. That's the first one that makes sense. It's the same in the natural as the spiritual. It makes sense. He says, no, that's going to hurt you. No, that's hot. No, that's bad for you. No, don't go that direction. He loves us. He's protecting us. You know, don't run out on the highway. I hope to keep you around a little bit longer. That's how it is. And God teaches us no. But then we go through this process of learning to hear his voice, respond to his voice, ask him questions, get the answer, move on into destiny. And there's a process that every Christian goes through. But the point is, God wants us to know. He is speaking and he wants us to know. Here's some keys. In this story, you might notice the first question. Is there an unexplainable supernatural timing? Now, what's going on here? 2 guys have a vision, and it coincides with exactly the right time, even though it's a day apart from each other. One day at 3 in the afternoon, Centurion Cornelius has a vision, sees an angel, talks to the angel, gets instructions. Peter doesn't know what's going on. He's just rejoicing because Dorcas got raised from the dead. I don't know why, but he's pretty excited about that. Probably he's having a good time. And he's just hanging out. He doesn't know that on his upcoming lunch break, God's going to talk to him. He's just up there on the roof praying one day. And he gets hungry and he decides to have a lunch break. You pick that up, right? So God doesn't always speak to us when we pray. Sometimes he speaks to us on our lunch break. Got it? He just comes into his life in answer to his prayer on his lunch break. And suddenly he's in the middle of this vision, this trance, this phenomenal situation is going on that has blown his mind. And he says, what is going on here? I'm seeing this vision. But there's a supernatural timing going on that he just happened to have that happen before the guys got to his house looking for him. That was really helpful. It just was really helpful that he hadn't had that 5 days before. And then he spent 5 days having an interpretation party with all of his Christian buddies about what this dream might have meant. No, it was like, boom, it happened. And there was the connection with these guys coming. So there's a supernatural timing going on. Now, you saw it happen this morning. This morning, we're worshiping God. I begin to pray. I saw Christine walking across to the microphone. I don't care. I've got something on my heart I'm going to say to God. She's going across to ask Charlie if she can say something. Do I know what she's going to say? No. And I'm praying what? Oh, God, lift our burdens. People are heavy. Give them joy. People are in prison. Set them free. We're praying about releasing our burdens, about helping us in our time of need. She is on her way to the microphone because she thinks God has told her that there's somebody here who feels a big responsibility. They think it's from God, but they're actually getting crushed by it. And it's a bit too much right now. And God wants you to know that he's going to set you free. Now, what's the timing of that? Do we plan that? Do we phone each other the night before? I don't think so. That's God's supernatural timing. I'm sure Christine's out. Is she doing Sunday school? I'm sure that helped her as she was going to the microphone and think, oh, this isn't just I think it's God. I know this is God. Right? Now, I haven't had time to talk to anybody in between our little break here, but I want to know, Eunice, did you respond to that? Was it that word? Are you free to share what it was? Not free. But did you feel like God spoke to you through what Christine said? So whatever's going on there, she doesn't want to share it with 200 people, but she knows God was speaking to her. And it's doubly confirmed because the same message was coming from two people who hadn't been sitting down for breakfast with her this morning. We have no idea what's going on, what she's thinking about. So supernatural timing is one of the keys you look for. Do you see the timing of God in this? Secondly, from this story, when God gives you a revelation, does it bring peace? Does it clarify something? Does it bring some answers? If the so-called prophecy or vision or word or thought brings you confusion or takes you in a completely different direction than where you thought you were going, it just doesn't fit with anything, it's not enough. You need to wait. Is this from God or isn't it? In this situation, he has a vision. He's wondering about what's this all about. Ah, then three guys actually are downstairs. They're Gentiles. I'm supposed to go to their house. The Holy Spirit said, whoever these three guys are, go to their house. I walk downstairs, find out they're Gentiles. Oh, but hey, wait a minute. That fits with that crazy vision I had. And then he's got a day and a half to think about it while he walks to their house with six other guys. So six of his buddies walk home with these three guys for a day and a half. I bet they told him about Dorcas. I bet they talked about the paralytic who raised from the dead. I bet they heard a little bit more about Cornelius. They had a day and a half walk on the way. And it's all starting to make sense during that day and a half. He's got some time to think about it. So that by the time he gets to Cornelius' house, he just boldly says, God has shown me that I should no longer call unclean what we used to call unclean. That God accepts all men. Well, that's a pretty bold statement. But he was so convinced by the time he got there because he had fit together all the pieces and the vision had brought him direction. It fit in with what God was asking him to do. It gave him clarity. It brought him peace. If it wasn't for the vision, it would have been a pretty difficult decision to just go and do this. Thirdly, when you think you've heard God, have you acknowledged difficulties? You'll notice in Peter's defense in chapter 11, as well as in the narrative of what actually happened, a sheet gets let down from heaven, and he boldly says, "No way, God, this just doesn't sound like you. I'm a Jew, I've never eaten this stuff." Later, when he talks to his buddies about it, he's like, "Look, this is what happened. And I said, no way. I understand. We don't do this kind of stuff." But he was head on confronting what seemed to be difficulties. And that's important. When you think you've heard God, but you have a nagging thought, you need to turn and face that nagging thought. Does God make sense in the midst of this nagging thought? If I avoid it, I'll walk in presumption, but I won't walk in faith. If you avoid your doubts, you'll walk in presumption, but you won't walk in faith. Faith comes by hearing God's word. And if you think maybe it's God, oh, but it doesn't fit with this, I don't know, I'm going to ignore that. You're walking in dangerous ground. You test everything. The Bereans were commended because they tested what Paul said. Corinthians, they were instructed to test prophetic words. So Peter is in a situation where what he is hearing doesn't match with everything in his situation, and it's really difficult. And he's not afraid of that. He just hits it head on and says, "This doesn't make sense. No way, God. I don't know if I believe this. Maybe I got this wrong." But God's got everything in his time. He clarified it. But the point is, we need to face our doubts, face our difficulties. Fourthly, is there confirmation? You need confirmation. And look at how much confirmation God gave Peter and Cornelius in this story. Was there three guys downstairs? Hey, maybe that was God. Was there a guy named Simon living by the ocean? Cool! I bet they wish they had a cell phone. We got to wait a day and a half to tell the boss. I bet they wish they had, maybe they sent out a passenger pigeon or something, you know, a homing pigeon. Go home and tell them, "Simon's here, we'll be back in a couple of days." But how exciting, you arrive and, okay, they say in this town there really is a guy down there. Now let's go to the gate and, "Yo, you guys got a guy named Peter living there?" "Really? Oh, this is getting cool." I mean, how many confirmations are there? That's wild. That's wonderful. These are some of the things that have given us faith with planting a church in Trail. You see, when Peter tells this story back to his friends in Jerusalem in chapter 11, he's telling them all of the markers, all of the signposts along the way that gave him faith that this was God. They weren't there. The six guys were there for some of it, but they hadn't had the vision. They hadn't heard the Spirit say. It was the same when we planted the church in Trail. 1 year ago, God spoke something to Andrew Freeman. God spoke something to me. We were at an elders retreat. The other elders had to test what was being heard. They hadn't all had visions. They hadn't all had things happen. But they could see the signposts along the way as it was shared. They were there the night that Andrew said, "I don't know what this means, but I saw this vision and it looks like this." And he drew this diagram of three little lines. They were there when I hit Google Earth and turned around my computer and said, "Did it look like this?" The map for Trail on Google Earth instantly comes up with three lines that looked exactly like the picture that he showed. We were there. God confirmed in various and many ways. We heard the story about the ambulance driver down at the hospital here at St. Paul's or the other one, Mount St. Joseph, who said, when you're in trail, make sure you eat at the Colander restaurant. And Andrew thought, I bet that's God. And we ate at the Colander restaurant, Tina and I and Andrew and Rochelle. And who was there? The pastor from our sabbatical, the Baptist church that we were at for 3 months, 2 years before. And he said, I haven't eaten here in 15 years. But tonight we just felt like we should be here. The one and only person in trail that I wished I had an opportunity to talk to in person, not by email, not word of mouth through the grapevine, but I wanted to tell him in person that we were going to plant a church in his community. He was there. The only night that we were there. Confirmation. All of these are ways that God confirms to us that you've really heard God's voice. And these are little questions you can ask when you think you've heard God. Not that you're going to have all eight of them, but some of them are going to bear witness with you and say, yep, that's enough to go on. Yep, I couldn't have made this up. Number five. Are you reminded of previous encounters? Is this how God's spoken to you in the past? Does it sound like Father? And so Peter says, he says two things. One was, then I remembered how the Holy Spirit came on us, and it was the same. So he saw the Holy Spirit poured out on these Gentiles and thought, wait a minute, this is exactly how it happened to us on the day of Pentecost. This has got to be God. And then he went a step further. As soon as he realized that it was the same as the day of Pentecost, he says, then I was reminded of Jesus' words to us that John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he instantly drew the conclusion, whoa, if Jesus has chose to baptize them like he did us, who am I to oppose God and say they're not part of my family? He drew the parallel instantly because he was reminded of what Jesus had said before, which was what John told us. John said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of everything that you've been taught. Isaiah said, whether you go left or right, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, no, this way, walk in it. Peter had that going on. And when you think that you've heard God, one of the things you ask is this how God speaks to me? Is this normal? Is this how my Father speaks? Some people continually have God speak to them through pictures and visions. Other people continually have God speak to them just through words, through concepts. I had one time, my wife and I were driving to a couple's home, and we were praying, Lord, what do you want to say to this couple? And as I'm driving, I said, look up, let's say Romans 5:8. I don't know what it was. She turns to it, and I thought, oh my goodness, I don't want to say that. But I think it's God. Well, we're driving a little bit farther, and another scripture comes flying into my mind. Look up this one. Same theme. I don't want to say that. Write it down. Three or four or five times in that half an hour drive to that home, just a sermon, just a scripture text, chapter and verse came into my mind, and I said, look it up. And each one was on the same theme of that family's situation and something that I did not want to share. But I was so thankful it came that way because I couldn't have made it up. It was just a text. If I had thought through the theme, I would have got myself all confused. But it was what God wanted to say to that family. How does God speak to you? Hey, let's just pause for a minute. Some of you need to share. Any example of, let's go back. Any example, now, we're not going to take a half an hour for each example, okay? So you got to cut it to like 30 seconds. Can you tell us a time when you had God speak to you and there was a supernatural timing? You remember a time when, hey, wait a minute, I couldn't have worked out this chain of events in this timing. Michelle. It's being recorded, so just grab a mic here quick. Your birthday fundraiser event.
Yes. Yes, my birthday fun. Am I supposed to share what happened?
Yeah. The timing.
30 seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's why God makes you talk fast.
I wasn't going to come up here. Okay, 30 seconds. Well, I happened to be part of a committee that God happened to, get me involved in, which happened to do a presentation for another committee, which happened to meet at this certain, food bank, who happened to be, Christian-based, who happened to share about faith and stepping out in faith, who also happened to have connections with people where I had the event, which God provided, which is the first thing that I prayed for God to show me to confirm that he wanted me to do the event, was to provide a venue. So there's much more, but that's some of
Very
it.
Very good.
It all happened to be.
So there was lots of, you can call them coincidence, or we call them God-cidence. Lots of God-cidence in that story. Anybody have an example of something that God spoke to you and actually brought you direction, clarity, and peace? And after Matthew, the next one is any situation where you thought God was speaking to you, but there were some difficulties or doubts that you had to confront first.
This is kind of 2 and 4. It was both clarity, peace, and direction, and confirmation. So this is when I was just dating my wife and praying about whether to come to... what to do, what do we go next? And I was going for a run, and I felt like I had this thought that I thought was from God, was, well, why don't you just, you're thinking about just getting a part-time job in the evenings and working for free somewhere to get graphic design experience anyways. Why not do it in Vancouver so you can be just that much closer to your girlfriend? And I was like, that's crazy. I'll talk to my dad, and he'll say that's crazy, and that'll be the end of it. Talk to my dad, and he's like, yeah, actually, I think you should try that. I was like, okay, that's crazy. I'll talk to my mentor, and he'll tell me that that's nuts, and that'll be the end of it. And I just give him the brief of it, and he's like, yeah, actually, I think Vancouver's a good fit for you. I said, okay, well, Lord, two people that I really respect, you've given me strong confirmation from, but I still need something from your word. Then I went back, and I was reading the word, and this is what I read as I was thinking, this is totally impossible, it's not going to work. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I just thought, okay, God, well, if you say you can do the impossible, you can get me here and you can get me a job, and I'm here, have a job that I've been at for 2 years, and I'm now married to Julie.
Very good. One more, somebody who's confronted doubts. Just to say God cares about girlfriends, eh? Get married while you got a chance. Mark.
So real and so unusual was when Pastor Birch was still with us, and we had been to a funeral, and we had then gone to a restaurant. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
We had gone to a restaurant, and on the way out, Rob tripped on a piece of the cement and fell into the garden. And I didn't know what to do. I felt I couldn't pick him up. And I heard a voice, and it said to me, I'll pick him up. And I looked. I mean, it's so real to me, and this is over 2 years ago now. And there was a man standing beside me, dressed in a beautiful suit and a man's hat. Beautifully trimmed, pressed pants. And he said, I'll pick him up. Just before that, I said to Rob, you stay here. I'll go into the restaurant and get... It was David's dad. David Ferguson's dad was in the restaurant. I'll get Tom to come out and help me pick you up. But then this man appeared. And he said, I'll pick him up. It seems so unreal that you'll think I'm making it up, but it wasn't. He came and he picked Rob up under the arms and under the knees and opened my car door and put him in the front seat. Now that was real. And so then I stopped Tom. I said, God has sent an angel to pick Rob up. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. It was so real. And so this man was so beautifully dressed. He looked like he was going to a wedding. And I can't tell you how I got into the car and how I had the nerve to drive home because I was so overcome by the presence of the Lord. And that's real. So God loves us in such a wonderful way. And so sometimes in ways that we're not even expecting. So I was in a great need.
When we first came from Switzerland, it's very complicated. People ask us, it's a long story, but I can't tell you all. But anyway, somewhere on our way here, we got a list of 7 churches, and how we got that is a miracle, so it just happened. But anyway, one of them was this church, and we went to visit all the other 6, but we thought, no, that's too far. We live in Kitzilano. Then a man happened to come from Switzerland to need a place to stay, and he stayed with us, and he had the name of this church as well, and he wanted to come and visit this church. We were not interested, but he didn't have a car, and we did, so he said, yeah, we'll drive you. And we came here, and as soon as we came, we knew this is our church, and we've been here for 28 years.
Very good. We'll have a chance for a few more sharing in just a minute. We'll go on through the rest of these. Timing. Revelation that brings peace, difficulties confronted, confirmations, reminded of previous encounters, and then the results. Was following God's voice met by His supernatural accompaniment? When you acted on what you thought God said, did He show up? That's one of the confirmations. So I told you a story two weeks ago about a time that I stood up in a restaurant and preached the gospel. I don't know to this day if that was God or not. Had God shown up, I would say yes. Maybe in heaven I'll meet somebody who met the Lord and then I'll say yes. But right now, who knows? I might have just been young and ambitious. But when God shows up, that's one of the things, and that's what Peter saw here. Peter knew when he went back to Jerusalem, hey, I obeyed the Spirit, I just followed the next step, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out upon these guys at Cornelius' house. That was part of his proof that he had heard God's voice. And it's important because God always calls us, or shall we say, God most often calls us beyond our ability. God doesn't just give us things to do that we can do in our own power. If we don't need God, that's just organization. That's just your own life. That's just life without God. But life with God means He calls you into something that does not succeed unless God shows up. That's life with God. Living in Christ isn't just about adhering to a religious code. Or agreeing to a statement of faith. It's not just a gang of friends that we all agree that historically the Bible said this and historically it means that and therefore we all are part of this club that believes these things but not these things. That might connect you to a group of people. But following the Spirit and living the life of Christ is a supernatural life. God shows up. There was one day I was pulling up to a 4-way stop. And I thought, I need to pray for Mike. And I began praying for a young man named Mike. And I hit the gas and I looked over. And there in the car going the other way was the young man named Mike. Whoa! 2 years later, I found out that God had showed up that day. Because Mike was away from God. And he told me, I pulled up to a stoplight one day, a stop sign one day, and I got all agitated. And I was all like, what's wrong with me? Why am I so upset? And then I looked up and I saw you in the next car and I thought, that's why I'm upset. He instantly knew. I was his youth leader in the previous years. He was ticked off that I was there. The spirits inside of him were agitating him. He was shaken by that. And in the same week, he went out to the racetrack, the local race car track, and he sat down to just get away from it all, to watch the races. And an old guy sat down beside him and said, Mike, I want to tell you about Jesus. And he turns and talks to him a little bit, politely. And he turns the other way to open another beer. And he turns back, and the guy was gone. He was so freaked out, he left the racetrack, left his beer, and went back to Jesus. He knew an angel had showed up at the racetrack that night. God moves in supernatural ways. He tells us to do something. It's beyond us. And he adds to it his supernatural dimension. Was following the Holy Spirit, or was following what you thought to be God, accompanied by supernatural? Number 7, very similar. Did following bear fruit? In this case, what happened? A whole bunch of Gentiles became Christians. A whole bunch of Gentiles were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, just like they had. A whole family, a whole household came to follow Christ. A bunch of Italians, nonetheless. Did it bear fruit? When you thought you were following God, did it result in touching lives, in furthering His kingdom? That's a good test. Lastly, and Matthew touched on this already, have mature believers endorsed it? Now, this is interesting. Peter thought he heard God. He didn't sneak off on his own. He took 6 other Christians with him to Cornelius' house. They were on this journey of wondering if Peter had heard God or not. They got to participate in observing whether or not Peter had gotten it right or not. And then they saw the result. And they bore witness to what was happening when the Holy Spirit was poured out. They heard all the stories about, from the other side of the story, how Cornelius had been a seeker of God, how God had appeared to him, the timing of it all, the confirmations of it all, the unexplainable things that had lined up. They got to see it all. But that wasn't enough. Having been totally convinced, when the wider church heard and said, you guys are out of your mind, and started criticizing them, they went to Jerusalem and opened their lives up and said, here's our story. You decide. And what happened? Mature believers who had walked with Jesus heard the story and confirmed and endorsed. They weren't part of those events. They didn't have any visions. They didn't hear the Holy Spirit speak to them. But they were able to hear, just from what was being presented, oh yeah, that's how God works. Oh my goodness. We didn't know He was going to do this with the Gentiles. Wow! We didn't see how big, how grand God's plan was for the world. We were so excited about what Jesus was doing for us, we didn't even think about the Italians. And they endorsed it. And then what does it say? They all rejoiced together. And the last line was, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted even the Gentiles, even the Italians, repentance unto life. Wow! What an amazing plan! And it took a giant leap forward for the kingdom, that now the church had a whole new vision of how much God was redeeming the world. God was calling everyone to Himself, and they didn't first have to come through Judaism customs. They didn't first have to eat only kosher food. They didn't first have to be circumcised. They could just meet God because Jesus had made the way. Whoa! And the mission expanded again and again and again. And all over the Roman world, people came to follow God. This little story, this grand story, this big story, gives us 8 simple tests that we can use to hear God, to know, to verify. Is this my imagination? Is this the devil? Or is this God? But there's something that we need to observe in this. While Peter and Cornelius walked through it, they didn't know the end of the journey. Peter didn't know. Even the guys at Jerusalem didn't understand that now in 2009, the vast majority of Christians around the world would be Gentiles and not Jews. They didn't know that. On the way, Cornelius didn't even know why he was inviting Peter to come. The angels just said, go get that guy and bring him to your town. He didn't know why. He wasn't told you're going to be explained the way to God. Just go and get him. And he followed. Peter was told, there's 3 guys downstairs. Go with them. He didn't know why. God didn't give him a vision that if you go with him, he would save the whole Gentile world. If you go with him, he'll pour out his spirit on these guys in Cornelius' house. He didn't know that. And that's important to us. Because when you think you've heard, and notice how many times today I said think. That involves testing. That involves risk. It involves knowing that we might not always get it right. And that's okay. I told you the story about going to the corner on Minnesota because I knew that guy had a diamond ring for my fiance. He wasn't there. The mature Christian laughed at me. It wasn't confirmed. It wasn't endorsed. I had not heard God. The delusions of teenage love was taking over me. Okay, that happens. But in the midst of it, there's other times that it was God. Phenomenal things that happened. Like when I was sitting at the back of the room and John Peterson was playing his guitar. And as he went on to the next song, I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me I'm supposed to share my testimony? I don't know how to hear your voice, but if that's what you're trying to tell me, tell John. Boom. He stopped the intro to his song and said, and now I think David's going to come and share his testimony. Whoa! So that was God. Like the times in Bible school that I would have these sermons raging through my mind, like, man, I got to preach this sermon. And that night, the preacher would preach that sermon. Oh, I wasn't supposed to preach. He's just teaching me his voice. The time I'm out speaking at a youth group with a missionary, and this lady who had done a lot of work in the Arctic Circle is the next speaker after me. And when she got up, she's like, I'm sure glad you sat down because you just took half my sermon. Whoa, God's moving here. Those are exciting times, but you don't always get it right. You just have to follow what's next. Jesus never promised us that he would show us the whole plan. He said, come and follow me. Leave your fishing nets, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Where are we going, God? I said, follow me. We want to control everything. We want to know the future. Why? Because our reputation's at stake. Because our pride is at stake. Because we might get it wrong. Peter might look really foolish. What were you eating for breakfast, Peter? What kind of vision did you have? Those thoughts go through our mind. But church, let's take a risk. Let's lose ourselves. Let's die to self. Let's forget about self. Let's seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added as well. Let's enjoy God. Let's take an adventure. Let's let God lead us. He leads us. We can know his voice. We can hear his voice. And it's heard, as it was in this situation, in the midst of the whole church. I was going to have time for a few more people to share, but I think we'll leave it there for today and see what God does in the weeks ahead. God bless you.